Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. The writer now moves into a new section. This will take him from chapter 4, verse 14, to well into the 10th chapter. In a way, it's the major subject in the letter to the Hebrews. The title over this section says it all: Jesus, the Great High Priest. Let me remind you of what this writer is doing. Moved with compassion, stirred in his soul because he sees believers drifting away from Christ. Jewish believers. They had suffered so much for Christ, they had stood their ground, it had a wonderful testimony. But in some way or another they were growing weary, and they were beginning in their minds and in their hearts to drift back to Judaism. And this writer writes to these Hebrew believers with this in mind. He's going to take the Old Covenant, the leading aspects of the Old Covenant, and prove to them that in every instance, Jesus Christ is superior. Better is the key word. The prophets, God has spoken by the prophets, but God has now spoken unto us by his Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Angels have ministered the covenant, the Old Covenant, but Christ is superior to angels. He is God, Emmanuel, with us. Christ became a man to live as a man, to die as a man, to bear the sins of his people as a man. Christ and Moses. Moses is a great man, but God has sent his Son. Moses was a servant over God's house, a servant in God's house, but Christ is a son over the house. As Moses said in Deuteronomy, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me. You must listen to him. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't drift away from him. This is what this writer is saying. And so he's gone on and on arguing his point. The Sabbath. Christ is the Sabbath. Christ is the Sabbath. And now he comes to this great matter. The priesthood. The high priesthood. Israel had this system of priesthood, hereditary priesthood, Aaron and his sons and on, with a great high priest, and tremendous robes and offerings and sacrifices that he could make, and power. He was a sacramental priest. He was a sacerdotal man. He was a priest indeed. It was the zenith in Israel. And, of course, these believers, looking at the simplicity, I might say the bareness of Christianity, genuine spiritual Christianity, biblical Christianity, New Covenant material, seeing the bareness, the simplicity of it, the seeming emptiness of it. Oh, let's go back to the priestcraft, the priesthood, where we had a man who could tell us and take us to God and give us comfort and sacrifice for us, and we could see him, and we could hear him, we could smell the thing. It was wonderful. And what does this man do? He takes the priesthood now, the high priest in particular, and he shows that all the glories and excellences of Aaron and all his sons and all on, you could put them all together, and they wouldn't amount to the fringe of the garment of the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, not into the temple, not into the tabernacle, not into the Holy of Holies once a year, but into heaven itself, right into the presence of God. Jesus, the Son of God, not the son of Aaron, No, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly, and so on. Don't let us go back. Now, here's a remarkable thing. Here's the title of his book, Jesus the Great High Priest. Here's his note to the reader, the opening remark. Therefore, what? Do you get it? He opens with the application. Did you get it? He opens with the therefore. What a remarkable writer. But he's not a writer, you see. He's a preacher. And as a preacher, he's going to apply his doctrine. That's why he's writing his doctrine. That's why he's preaching. That's why he's in his business what he's doing. Why? Because he wants to be useful to his readers. And he starts with the application. Therefore, let us hold firmly to the faith, to the gospel, to the position we profess. Now, modern editors would tell him that that's wrong. You can't start with the application. You've got to set out the stall, first of all. Well, when you get on far down the line, then you can make some application if you really must. But in books, we don't really want application. No, no. No, we don't even want it in preaching today, do we? You can put a little bit in just at the end, 2 minutes of it. Not at all. He opens with it. Spurgeon was very strong on this. Don't wait till they get their armour on, he said, before you make application. They're expecting it at the end. Give it to them early. Catch them unawares. But this man is not trying to catch me unawares. I can see his heart here. I can feel it. This is the answer. Don't go back to the law, he says. Don't go back to the old covenant. I wonder what he would say if he could see how the fathers, the medieval church, Calvin, the reformers, the Puritans, and now the reformed teachers, this whole army of people taking us back, back, back to the law, whipping us under the law, being sanctified under the law, convincing and convicting sinners under the law, preaching the law, 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 law for assurance, law everywhere. Westminster Confession, so heavy on law, law. I wonder what he'd say about that. I think I know what he would say. It's what I'm going to say now. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest, since we have such a glorious new covenant, why ever would you dream of going back to the old covenant? To angels. Well, we don't do that. Sabbath, you go to that though, don't you? Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, we've got a Sabbath, my friend. It's Jesus Christ. And now we have a great high priest, Jesus the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. I am weak. This man addressing you is weak. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. The man addressing you, my friend, is tempted. Yet this high priest was tempted, yet was without sin. So let us hold to this faith. No, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Am I addressing anybody who's listening to law teachers, and you lack assurance? I have no doubt about it. You never will get it under that teaching. Very, very rarely does it come. You won't get it. Why not? Because you're looking at your works, aren't you? Well, your works will never be good enough, my friend. Look at Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Has he not told you this already in the earlier chapters? Has he not say it in chapter 3? Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Isn't he saying it here? Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, shouldn't you look up to see him there? When you're tempted to despair, shouldn't you look up to Jesus? When you're weak, shouldn't you look up to Jesus? When you're lacking assurance, shouldn't you look up to Jesus? Doesn't the Spirit bear witness with your spirit, taking you to Jesus, glorifying Jesus to you? Can't you see what this writer is saying? Can't you feel what I'm trying to say to you? Do I speak to a believer who's being tempted? Do you know Jesus was tempted in every point, every way, every aspect, just as you are, yet without sin? He was man and he felt it, but he was God and he overcame it in his body as God-man. He's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Grace, do you need grace? I do. Do you need mercy? with confidence approach the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy. Do you need mercy? Forgiveness? And find grace? Do you need grace? I do. I've said it twice now, because I need it. And where will grace be found? Plenteous grace with thee. Who? Jesus is found. Are you listening to the law teachers, my friend? Then go to Jesus. Are you listening to the high priest of the new atheists? Say, Richard Dawkins and people like that. Listen to Jesus. Are you listening to the high priest of the new perspective? Men like N.T. Wright. Listen to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Unbeliever, where are you looking? I've just mentioned two or three places you might be looking. Oh, men are priests. The Church of England have their priests. The Church of Rome has its priests. Evangelicals have their priests. They call them pastors. Very often they're priests. The Watchtower has its priests. The Islamic people have their imams, their priests. I'm sure they do. Men, who tell them what's what. Their popes. Rome certainly has them. The gurus. They've all they got them. Believer, we've got the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has ascended right into heaven for us. Not in some earthly tabernacle. Not living on some palace in the Vatican. Not living in wealth somewhere in America as the top dog in the watchtower or whatever it might be. No. Don't live in a palace in Lambeth. He reigns in heaven. He rules in heaven. Seated at the heavenly side of the right hand side of the Father. So that now let us come with confidence, boldness, assurance. You want assurance? Come this way to this high priest. So that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us. You, my brother and sister, may find grace to help us. We may find it in our time of need. This is our time of need. I have need today. Need for God's Spirit. Oh, Jesus, give me the Spirit. I have need of help and guidance. Oh, Lord Jesus, look after me. And he's praying without ceasing for me, interceding night and day. And he's coming again for me. Oh, sinner, you don't know what you're missing. Unbeliever, you don't know what you're missing. I don't care what you've got. You haven't got this Jesus as your great high priest. You've got a priest somewhere. He might be self. Luther said the great pope is self. But you have some priest. You're trusting some sacrament of some kind, some sacerdotal system. You're looking somewhere. There's only one place to find grace, mercy, forgiveness, peace with God, everlasting joy. And that place is in Jesus Christ the Lord. Will you come to him? Will you trust him? I plead with you. I urge you. I command you. I invite you. I would press you to come to Jesus. And find in him your everlasting all and joy. Well, that's how he opens. With the therefore, use the high priest. Don't leave him in the book. I'm going to close my Bible in a moment. This audio will soon be over. Are you going to leave it there, my friend? Or are you going to take Jesus off the audio? Are you going to take Jesus out of the scriptures, into your heart? And is he going to go with you all through the day? Tomorrow, the day after, and forever, is he going to be your high priest? Are you going to look to him and use him? This man is a preacher, and he starts off with the application. And the application is, here is the great high priest. Have him, take him, love him, trust him, serve him, worship him, know him, enjoy him, have him now and forever. Well, I have a hymn for you. I suppose there could be a score I could choose, but there's got to be one for me. It's the hymn by Charity Lise Duchesnes. You'll know it, I expect. If you don't, you're in for a treat. Let me try and read it with some sense. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. A great high priest, whose name is Love. Whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven in his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, he actually sits, but it's the poetic license. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness, the great, unchangeable I Am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ, my Saviour and my God. I hope with all my heart that that's true for everyone who hears me. I hope it's true that you can say with me, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, we will hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Therefore we will approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.